But yeah, praise the Lord. I remember coming here in the fall of 2007, and then we went back in the spring in 2008 to Romania. This is our eighth year in Romania, but we moved over by the Hungarian border. We're about an hour and a half from Hungary, and they got lots of good food over there, amen, good meat and stuff. But the Hungarian goulash is not goulash in Hungary. It's gulyash, okay? And it's really a soup. It's a thick soup. It's really good, like a potato soup with lots of good pork in it and stuff like that. But it's really good, spicy, got a bite to it. They like that paprika, you know, the Hungarians. So that is a very hard language. Hungarian is the second hardest language in the world. But most Americans know how to say goodbye in Hungarian. See ya. So I love that, you know. So you get that one right. But Romania is over there in the Eastern Bloc. They're below the Ukraine and above Bulgaria, and they are very proud of their Latin heritage. They're very proud that they came from the Romans, you know, and the Romans about 10 miles from our house we have a Roman fortress and a Colosseum. They had 80,000 soldiers up there in the mountains, and really beautiful. And really interesting, when you go to even our little villages, there'll be a coin with Caesar's inscription on it, and a lot of history. The Romanians are always been a country that's been oppressed by another people or whatever. And Count Dracula was real, you know, Vlad the Impaler. They think he was a great king. They hailed him because he hated the Turks. He impaled them on wooden stakes. And they said he was greatly feared. They said that he had a golden cup at a well up on a mountain, and nobody touched his golden cup, so because they respected him so much. So at that time, that was probably 2,300 years ago or something. But Romania is a Latin country in the midst of a Slavic world, and they are very beautiful people. The interesting thing about Romania is that if you've ever studied anything about India, there's a people group in India called the Untouchables, the lepers, the beggars of India, the red dot people, you know. The Indians will tell you that they are subhuman, less than human. Well, about 1,200 years ago, a big group of these people left and went into Europe. And the Europeans thought they came from Egypt and called them gypsies. Now, the Indians, they were the Untouchables. They were hated in India. So they didn't want to say, oh, no, we're not gypsies. They let the title stick until the title got really, really, really bad. Amen. And they're nomadic people, and they've traveled all around the world. Most people have known that gypsies have been all over America. They're in the Philippines. They're in Mexico. And everywhere they go, they're the beggars. They're the thieves. They're the fortune tellers. That's who they are. It's a people group. And Romania still has the largest population in the world. We have about 6 to 8 million gypsies. The Romanians hate them. But all the German and the French and the Italian, they think all Romanians are gypsies, and Romanians don't like that either. And, of course, now they call them the Roma people, okay, and the Romanians don't like that either. But eventually they'll wear out that Roma thing and make that, which they've already done, you know. France is paying to send them people out of there and stuff like that. You might have heard about some of that. But, you know, these people need to get saved. And when we left in the spring 3 years ago, we went and we moved over and we started working in an orphanage every week. We got most of our orphans are abandoned children. We've got over 100 children still. And that's really a wonderful ministry. We love it. And in fact, I tell people it's not a ministry. That is, they're our kids, amen. That's part of our family. We love them kids. And we've seen them saved and learn a lot about the truth about God, amen. A lot of truth about the Word of God and how to follow Christ according to His Word. But then we have gypsy churches, and the one in Periche, we've seen some people saved there. The problem with Romania is they're saturated with a lot of tradition and teachings of men. And European, and I'll tell you right straight out, European Baptists, Russian Baptists, teach that baptism saves you. You have to be baptized to get saved, and they teach that you can lose your salvation. When you talk to a Baptist in Europe, they think that you can lose your salvation. And with a third world country, which Romania was, they like American money. So they tell all the Americans, yeah, we believe just like you, okay, for your money. But they really don't. There's a lot of deception. And communism teaches a whole culture of deception. Socialism, lies. And you lose all honesty among people. But, you know, you shouldn't be in the work of God for money, that's for sure. But I'll tell you something about people that grow up in that type of mentality that you can lose your salvation, is that especially when they're tender-hearted or you got somebody that comes through every once in a while and really preaches the gospel, they all raise their hands for salvation. And so the Americans come over there and give invitations, and all these people keep raising their hand for salvation because they got to keep getting saved over and over and over again. And people think, boy, there's a great harvest over there. No, there's a great blindness over there. These people don't see the finished work of Christ. So I work very hard on just concentrating on the gospel. I've learned that the power is in the gospel, in the Word of God, and in Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. But they have to see Christ and rest in Him to be saved. Amen? You have to put your faith and trust in Him. It's not your baptism. It's not your church membership. It's not what you do. And so, I mean, it's the gift of God. Amen? And that's how I got in. I was raised Roman Catholic, and there was a time when I was totally lost. I mean, there was no way I was going to clean up my life. I could not save myself. And a man invited me to church. He gave me a tract. I came to church that Sunday. The preacher preached, he preached on true repentance, and he went through what true repentance was. But he said the old-time preachers called it getting right with God. He said, you need to get right with God. And boy, I hit that altar. I would have done anything to be saved. And they opened up the Bible and showed me salvation was a gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm like, it's God gives us eternal life? What a wonderful truth. And I think that's one of the reasons why God sent us over to an Orthodox country, because even the Baptists are Orthodox. They're not Baptists. I had an old Southern Baptist told me one time, he said, we knew we'd have problems with the communist mentality here. He said, but I didn't know we'd have problems with the Baptist Union. He said, they're not even Baptists. And I said, why do you even work with them, you know? And so you can't work with that. You've got to tell people, hey, you need to get saved. You need to put your faith and trust in God rather than teachings of men. And so that's basically what we've been doing. But we see some people do it. We had Teresa. Boy, she was a gypsy lady in the village, and all her brothers claimed to be saved. And or actually her husband's brothers all claimed to be saved. And Teresa's seen Christ. And boy, she is so happy. She's just bubbling over. And then her brother came, and he got saved. He's 26 years old. His name's George in English, Gheorghe Gica. But George got saved, and all the you know, born-again Christians, what they call themselves repenters, pokey, they came to him right then, I mean right on the spot, and said, you're not saved. How do you know you're saved? He said, yes, I am saved. How do you know you're saved? Because God says I'm saved. You know, and they could not talk him out of his salvation. I said, go get him, George, amen. You know, he's wicked. I mean, wicked, just wicked. It's only the devil would want to take your faith away from the Word of God, amen. And so these guys started throwing James chapter 2 in my face. You know, faith without works is dead. Because George wanted to get baptized. I said, come on, George, we'll baptize you, amen. I'll set it up next week, we'll baptize you. You can't baptize him. How do you know he's going to? Because they make people go through a 2-month catechism before they even baptize them. And I said, well, what do they do in the book of Acts? And there's a lot of people around the world that do this. You know what I mean? Make them wait all this time to prove that they're really a Christian. In the book of Acts, they got baptized and then they burnt their, you know, their magic books and stuff like that, right? I mean, God, okay, is there anybody here that's really worthy of going to heaven yet? Because that's practically what they're teaching. They're teaching that you got to be worthy to be baptized. That doesn't make any sense. So, no, let him get baptized, you know. And they were saying, well, you know, faith without works is dead. So I preached a hard message on him on James chapter 2. I said, James said, show me your faith and I'll show you my works, right? And I said, Tracy and George come to every service. They open their Bibles. George can't even read. He can't even read, but he follows along trying to. They listen to every single word. They take it to heart. They go out and witness to people. They pray. You know, I see their works. They want to follow the Lord in baptism. I see their works. You guys say that you've been saved for 10 years, 15 years, that you live for Christ, but yet you never come to church. You never study your Bible. You never witness to anybody. And you don't tithe. You know. That's like these guys, we have Seventh-day Adventists pretty popular, and they'll get in arguments with me in the markets about the law. And people were saying, well, you're talking about Jesus, and they're just talking about the law. But I figured out a way to stop them. I just asked them, do you tithe? That's it. Argument's over. Because they don't tithe. But yet, that's a biblical principle. I've had them tell me, Brother Paul, you can't make that a law. No, it's a biblical principle, amen? It's a wonderful thing. I mean, it's all 100% God's anyhow. All I have to do is give Him back 10, amen? Glory. And I like giving Him all more than that anyhow. Give like the book of Acts, amen? Give all. So, it's just amazing. We've got so much in the Word of God, and we can tell others, amen? To know Christ and be able to go tell others. So that gives you a little idea. We got some Hungarian pastors that were trained by a good man, and Michael Carney trained a couple of men and left them with buildings even, Pastor Zsolt and Debertson. And I'll tell you what a type of man Pastor Zsolt is, okay? He's got a little church in Debertson of maybe 20 people, 30 people. And he felt after pastoring several years, he was getting some support from different other churches in Hungary and from some places in America, some churches in America. And he said, I'm a pastor. He said, my church should support me. And so I don't want any more support from anybody. I'm not a missionary. So he rejected his support as a national pastor. And then now the church, because of the crisis, isn't able to support him a salary. So he said last month, he said, I'm now a volunteer pastor, and I'm going to go get a job so I can keep serving the Lord and full time in the church too. So just an honest man. And I'm thankful for a man like that. And praise the Lord for Pastor Zsolt. And Brother Irving is another man that was trained by the same man. And he's north of Budapest, about a half an hour. And Brother Irving is really a blessing, real tender heart, him and his wife. And it's nice to see a European that has a real tender heart toward the things of God. Yeah. They're cold-hearted on the most part. Calvinism was, in fact, in Debertson was the capital of the Rome capital of Calvinism during the Reformation. So the Reformation still gives Europe a lot of, Calvinism still gives them a lot of problems for sure, and it's given America a lot of problems too. So you can be sure it's God's will for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, amen? And God in His sovereignty gave us a free will, amen? And so anybody can be saved, and God's not going to make you give your life or serve the Lord. He's not going to make you tithe or anything, amen? He's not going to make you put treasure up in heaven. He's not going to make you set your affection on things above. But He asks you, He tells you, He gives you that option. So it's a great thing. And then I got a friend that in the last 3 years, he came down through he was in Russia. I don't know if you ever heard of Jim Pranger. This guy's an interesting character. I want to tell you about Brother Pranger a little bit. But he was in Siberia for 11 years, started like 7 churches. You never met a bolder man. World News and World Report or something like that did an article on him on saving Russia. But a secular magazine. But Brother Pranger, his hitchhike all over Russia, Siberia, passing out tracts. But Brother Pranger taught himself Russian by writing out the Russian Bible by hand. Okay, and this guy was a drug addict when he was young, sailor, Navy brat. But he got kicked out of Russia basically, and he came down through the Ukraine, Moldova, and he was looking for what God wanted him to do. He came over to Romania with me, then he wound up in Hungary, and God ended up putting him in Budapest. And he thinks it's something. He told me the other day on the phone he's handed out tracts now. And, of course, he hands out hundreds of tracts all the time, every week. But he goes to the tourist attractions. And he has hit 70 different nationals now, from 70 different nations. Because he wears a fishing vest full of tracts from all over the world. And then he asks people, where are you from? And he told me the other day, hey, I had a lady from Korea. That's number 70, And so, he's just something else. But this man reads 45 chapters a day. He believes in tithing your time in the Word of God, 2 hours and 40 minutes a day. He reads his Bible through 14 times a year. If you do 45 chapters a day, you can read your Bible through every month. So it's like, yeah, that's pretty crazy. Shannon's done it. Shannon's read her Bible through like 20 times in the last year and a half or so. But it's challenging. And yeah, I'm not saying you should read your Bible through every month. It'd be good to do it once a year, amen? But I tell you what, you need to read your Bible. I'm doing like 20 chapters a day, and if I don't even read it, I like to listen to Scorby. And even when I'm taking my nap, amen, I'll sit there and listen to Scorby while I'm taking my nap. So I'll wake up in one chapter, I'll fall asleep in one chapter, and wake up in another chapter. I said, man, praise the Lord. But you're getting something in. You've got, hey, You know what the problem with America is? They're departing from that. That's the problem with our churches. When our preachers start getting out of this book, the churches start getting out of this book. And that's what's causing a lot of problems. We need to be in the book. But Brother Pranger, he's now preaching after 2 years in Hungarian. And that is one rough language. And he has written out the Hungarian New Testament. I've got most of the Romanian New Testament done myself. It's a good practice. You know, it was required of kings to write out the law. And we're kings and priests, right? So he's really challenging. He's fun to be around. He really is. It's not like he's like all conviction or something. It's like, man, I'm a wicked boy. I'm terrible. No, he's a real blessing to be around and challenging. He's really encouraging. And I've had a lot of fun with Jim. And it's just a blessing to have somebody that's just looking. He's got like two or three families in his church after 2 years still. And it gets hard sometimes because you really want to see some people. You'd like to see some people really get saved and grow. You know what I mean? You'd like to see some fruit that remains. Isn't that wonderful? And we don't see very much. But the unseen things are eternal. And we need to remember that. There's a lot of things that God is doing that we will never see. Amen? But somebody else very well could. So that's just a little challenge, a little encouragement there. And really, it's a good thing to do. If I was younger, I'd encourage all 20-year-olds or all kids, start writing out Spanish Bible some. Learn some Spanish. It's not going to hurt you a bit to learn another language. Amen. You know, God, we couldn't, you know, I had a guy tell me one time, we got too many missionaries in Mexico. Are you kidding me? We don't have too many missionaries anywhere. Amen. Amen? And now God brought them all over to the United States. We got great opportunity to reach a lot. They are lost. They don't know Christ. They need to be saved. Amen? And how shall they call on Him in whom they not believed? And how shall they believe on Him in whom they not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And I know a lot of women that are better preachers than men. Amen? So, did you ever hear the story about the lady that witnessed to everybody in town, elderly lady? And it was in the old days, you know, when they had the cigar shop and the old wooden Indian. And one day somebody seen her talking to the wooden Indian. She was kind of blind. She couldn't see very well. And they were making fun of her in church or whatever. And she said, well, I'd rather be a Christian telling people about Jesus and talking to wooden Indians than be a wooden Christian and never tell anybody about the Lord. Amen. And so, it's a good thing. And the reason we don't tell is because our faith gets too little. We get too wrapped up with the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches. So, look at Matthew 28. That was quite an introduction, wasn't it? Amen? I got to tell a little bit what's going on over there. But we've been having a great time. We'd like to see more fruit. We really would. We're going to go back. I got a national pastor right now watching the church in Periche. And, of course, all the kids in the orphanage are looking for when we get back. And we want to start another Romanian church. We'd really like to see that, see God do that. And so whatever the Lord wants to do, that's a blessing. And wherever we can go. And we do, you know, no matter what, we want to encourage other missionaries or other pastors or other Christians everywhere we go. You know, I mean, a week ago Sunday, we had a teenage girl saved in a service at a missions conference. So, you know, God uses your mission giving with your missionaries, just not in the country where they're at. Everywhere we get to go, we get to sow the seed. Amen. I'm always grabbing tracks. And I, you know, if you ever get a call from Timbuktu from one of your tracks, I might have put it there. Amen. So, you know, people will call me up and they'll say, Paul, you putting my tracks out? And I said, yeah, I am. And they're like, well, I'm on the other side of the country. And I said, it's okay, amen. They got saved. They wrote you and said they got saved. Praise the Lord. Who cares if you're on the other side of the country? Give me their address. I'll go see them, amen. So, praise the Lord. Matthew 28. In verse 16 through 20, Jesus had an appointed time to meet these guys. In verse 16 it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped. Oh, I better have everybody stand, right? I'm sorry. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You are the Lamb of God. You are the one that take away our sins, Lord. You bore our sins on that cross. And God, you're our Savior. Lord, you're Emmanuel. All that you are, Lord. Lord, help us to remember what you are. Help us to put our eyes upon you tonight. God, work in our heart. Here in the Word of God, you appointed a time for them to meet. The ones that believed worshiped. But God, you gave a challenge. You gave a command for the church to go. To present the gospel, amen. And Lord, you tell us that you've given us all power. You got all power. And you're behind us and you're with us. And we're thankful for that. God, help us to remember all that you are and all that you want us to do tonight. Stir us up. In Jesus, your name I pray. Amen. Amen. And so it was good that they came, amen, when they were supposed to come. They were in the right place at the right time, amen. I don't like missing church. I really don't. And it's really a wonderful thing God speak to you. But they saw him. It says they saw him. They worshipped him. The amazing thing that blows me away is it says that some doubted. I can't comprehend somebody seeing Christ and doubting still. But I see people do it. I see people where God speaks to them. One time there was a lady. She was in a little lady in Romania. She was a Jehovah's Witness. And we were witnessing to her, and she told me, she said, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. And I said, but you got to read the next verse, amen? It says, I show you a mystery, right? In the twinkling of an eye. It says, this mortal shall become immortal, and this corruption shall become incorruptible. I know I didn't quote that, right? We can read it for what it says. But it says, we shall be changed, amen? We're going to be changed, just like that. And she said, that's in your Bible. So we grabbed her Jehovah Witness Bible, the Romanian New World Translation or whatever, and she read it, and she shook. And I've never seen anybody tremble before like Felix did, but she trembled. And she said, I can't talk to you anymore. And I said, that's because God just talked to you. God just talked to you. You know, people will stand there and they'll grip a pew, or God will get hold of their heart or something like that, and they just don't want to give it to God. They just don't want to lay their life down. It's salvation. You can't save yourself. You might as well just surrender if you're not saved. Amen? But if you're saved and God's dealing with you with something, He's going to speak to your heart. You know if you're fighting with God. You know if you're wrestling with God. And here's some of the men. It says they doubted. The sad thing is they're missing out on the worship. The believers worship the Lord. Amen? The unbelievers can't worship God. What a wonderful thing it is. And I would wish, I've learned something, because I got a prodigal, I've learned something, that you children have to have your own relationship with Jesus Christ. You make a profession, you say, well, I asked Jesus to be my Savior and I'm going to heaven. Now you need to really dwell on what Jesus has done for you. You're forgiven of all your sins. You really need to think about that. You really need to think about what Christ did for you.